Camden Town,
Holborn,
Regent's Park,
West Hampstead,
Gospel Oak, Swiss Cottage,
Kentish Town,
Bloomsbury, Highgate,
St Pancras,
Covent Garden, King's Cross,
Somers Town,
Fortune Green, Camden Community Radio.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.
Hello and welcome to Camden Community Radio's newscast for the week beginning the 18th of March. I'm Freddie Chick, and it's time to pin back your ears and get ready for all the latest news from across the borough. In this edition, we discover that it's not only in Spain that women are making the claim to ownership of their own bodies.
My belly is not mine, according to some gentleman who walked out there, and I have a strange feeling that it is. Large and all as it is, it's me who's been hauling it around all these years.
On a happier note, Maiden Lane is playing host to a series of family fun days. We went along to find out what were the most fun things there.
Ping pong, eat, well, not really. Video games, and that's it.
We also have a report from CC Radio's Nikita Chilani about the funding cuts facing Olympic team sports in the UK.
If you want many medals, team sports are never, ever going to get a chance.
But we begin by returning to a story we covered at the end of last year. The Camden Buskers fight to stop the council enacting new licensing laws in the borough. At the end of last year, we brought you the story of the protest being made by Camden Buskers against the council's new licensing policy. The policy requires all buskers in the borough to buy a license from the council. Anyone failing to do so could face a fine of up to £1,000 and have their instrument confiscated. Leading the protest was the busking organisation ASAP, and they took the council all the way to the High Court to contest the legality of the plans. On Tuesday this week, the High Court ruled in favour of the council. I asked the head of ASAP, Johnny Walker, for his reaction to the ruling.
If I'm going to speak frankly, I think it's a preposterous ruling. But I think it's difficult for a High Court judge to enter into the imagination of what it is to be a busker and what street culture is. I think it's so far removed from their world that it would take an act of imagination and empathy, and the judge in question didn't show those characteristics.
Is this is this the end of the fight for you? Will you be taking this further?
Absolutely. This is the beginning. It's not just the High Court, there's a Court of Appeal, and then there's the Supreme Court, and beyond that, there's the Court in Strasbourg. So we have legal remedies, we have a lot of support, and we also believe we have a point of principle, and we think that this is a very key point in UK cultural history.
If all this fails and it comes to it, will you buy a license?
No, absolutely not. And I would say that if you're thinking of busking in Camden, I'm not advising people to go busking, because I don't like the thought of musicians and people seeking to express themselves being harassed by the police. Mm-hmm. And by council officials, and it troubles me to say it, but that's very likely in the current climate. I don't want people to risk getting a criminal record without legal support, so I'm not advising people to go out and busk in violation of these new regulations, which are confusing and ambiguous anyway. I am advising all right-thinking performers to boycott Camden.
Johnny has already been told of cases where the council's new powers have been enacted on the streets.
I've had a report today from a friend who lives near Camden, and he said, I went to Camden earlier, I met a guitarist, Dan, he's already been told to move on twice. Also, homeless Paul said he'd had his guitar confiscated by Kentish Town Police last week because he didn't have a licence.
But it is not only the council's new powers that are being felt in the borough. The spirited protest of Johnny and the Buskers has also had an impact. As well as generating huge support, it has led one Camden citizen to turn to politics. Comedian Ben van der Velde will now be standing as a Green Party candidate in May's council elections. He was inspired to do so when he heard about Johnny's protest, and I spoke to him to find out why.
I think it's such a clearly unnecessary use of power and use of too much power. It's crushing spontaneity and it's crushing creativity in a way that seems completely at odds with the character of Camden as I know it and as many other people know it. And it would be very, very easy to just go, well, do you know what, I'm not a busker, I'm not going to live in Camden my whole life. This might not affect me. But you know what? I really admire buskers' lifestyles, whether it's people like Johnny, who are professional buskers, who put in a hell of a lot of work to that lifestyle, or whether it's, you know, kids who are 14, have written a great song or learned a great song, want to go out on the street, learn their trade, gain their confidence by playing to that audience, and they're now going to have to go through a bureaucratic rigmarole just for the right to play music in the street. Being a stand-up, I've travelled to all four corners of England and other bits of the United Kingdom, and the towns that are so miserable are the ones where they have identikit town centres. There's nothing to them. There's all the history's gone. All it is just a commercial high street. The places that are fun to visit, places like Brighton or Bath or York or Edinburgh, they've got somewhere much more vibrant, much more interesting to them. And Camden's one of those parts of the country.
Hmm.
And it does feel like people are trying, whether it be the council or other forces, are trying to take that away and to commercialise that.
Finally, I asked Ben if he had any plans for his campaign that people should look out for.
There are likely to be a couple of events. One thing we're going to do is we're hopefully going to take some musical theatre singers out on the street, have them singing, and see whether any police officers or community officers want to enforce the law of stopping them singing and fining them £1,000. And we'll probably film that and see how those exchanges go. Equally, I'm intending on making a little campaign video. I'm going to get a bunch of buskers to sing my manifesto.
To find out more about the buskers' cause, go to keepstreetslive.com or to streetslive.org. Last Saturday was International Women's Day, and there were protests of all sorts across the world. Our own neighbourhood had its very own happening.
Last Saturday afternoon, a group of women dressed in red and pulling suitcases were seen walking towards the London Irish Centre in Camden Square. People who were enjoying the sun in the beer gardens along the route could sense that they were not just some recent arrivals on the HS2 train from the continent wending their way from St Pancras International. There was something more going on. And now Camden Community Radio can tell you the tale. The Ladies in Red were in fact a direct action feminist performance group, speaking of Imelda, and their mission was to challenge the ongoing problem of Imelda, or of Ireland making England the legal destination for abortion. The Constitution of the Irish Republic was amended in 1983 following a US-funded and Catholic Church-backed campaign so that the right to life of the fetus is, from conception, legally equal to that of the woman. In practice, this has meant that a woman's health and sometimes her life is put at risk even where a fetus cannot survive, as was seen so recently in the case of Savita Halappanavar. She died of septicemia in October 2012 because the hospital would not complete a termination, although a miscarriage was obviously in process. The legislation passed after her death has introduced a 14-year jail sentence for anyone getting an abortion in Ireland. Irish women find that the only place that they can legally terminate a pregnancy is by coming to Britain. It seems that last Saturday there was a conference at the Irish Centre called Dissident Voices, Faith and the Irish Diaspora. Now, last Saturday was March the 8th, the date on which International Women's Day has been celebrated in Europe and America for the past 100 years. It seems that although the conference was exploring radical practice, it wanted to stay totally within the Orthodox tradition. This and the fact that the first platform for the day seemed only to have male speakers created the impression that the hotly contested issues in the Catholic Church pertaining to women would be sidelined, while other social, economic and political radicalism would be pursued. The group walked into the conference in ceremonial fashion to the sound of a tolling bell. I asked them what happened next.
We informed them that we thought ourselves as Dissident Voices of the Irish Diaspora and that we wanted reproductive rights for all Irish women. Some people walked out and said that our bodies were not ours.
Another group member elaborated.
We walked into the room and we said a few words about why we thought women's rights were important and why we thought that this issue of Ireland making England legal destination for abortion was being ignored. I found it interesting, so one man did get up and walk out and said our bodies weren't our bodies, but then there were also some interested people who were attending the conference, and I got the kind of fair play to you vibe as well.
Imelda was used as a code name that allowed Irish women travelling to England for abortions to keep their plans secret so as to avoid legal action when, between 1986 and 1995, providing information or travelling for abortion was treated as a criminal offence. Before 1986, it had been legal to provide information and to make a referral directly to a trustworthy clinic. Despite the changes in the law, up to 6,000 women from Ireland north and south continue to travel to Britain each year to access abortion services. The ideological battles of the Catholic Church do nothing to change that reality. They just make life more difficult. Many women in Catholic countries have faced attempts to outlaw women's access to control their fertility, even to making the morning after pill illegal. There have been battles in Central America and recently in Spain. One of the group on Saturday was Italian.
I'm from Italy. I am in solidarity with women's rights everywhere, and we in Italy had these same fights years ago and we won, and it's very important, and the battle is not over because it's always mind, and there are always right-wing and church-related groups that want to reclaim our bodies, so it's important to be in solidarity.
In reality, it is the voice of men and their control of women which is at issue, as one protester remarked.
My belly is not mine, according to some gentleman who walked out there, and I have a strange feeling that it is. Large and all as it is, it's me who's been hauling it around all these years.
For the past 40 years, 12 women a day have been travelling from Ireland to access abortion in Britain, and yet there is silence about their experiences.
This was more important than I thought it would be going in, to be honest, because I was really surprised by the support in the room. We had some smiles and some relieved faces of people who wanted us to be there. And also some women in the front like clapped at the end and felt like, thank you for bringing this up, I felt.
The protesters ranged in age from their 20s to their 70s and were adamant that women are refusing to be shamed into silence.
Well, I wanted to let the folks at home in Brewery, County Limerick, know what I do. Not dead yet, that's what.
And there you have it.
The Maiden Lane Community Centre is running a monthly series of Family Fun Days, and the emphasis is really on the whole family. There's something for everyone, as Anne Carroll discovered.
There's quite a tradition of family fun at Maiden Lane. People just keep coming back year after year.
I do, yeah. I've come here since I was a little girl. Yeah. I've come here since I was probably about 8 or 9. And I'm 41 now. Yeah, we come here every time.
Every time
there's a family day on, I bring my nieces or someone, because all mine are grown up now. My baby's 16.
But what were the top attractions for today's 8-year-olds?
Ping pong, eat, well, not really. Video games, and that's it.
And whoosh, she was off. Last seen, heading for the bouncy castle. So that's the kids sorted. But what about entertainment for the parents?
My name's Amanda and I'm here for the fun day with my two children. Ellie and Kira, they're 9 and 5. They're downstairs playing somewhere.
Do you know what they've been on so far?
No idea.
Because they seem to have bouncy castles and...
Yeah, face painting, table tennis, video games, yeah.
And something for mums as well?
Yes, I've just had a nice massage, head and shoulder massage, which is very nice.
And would you recommend that to
anyone? I definitely would, yes.
Are you feeling really relaxed then?
Yes.
And anything else you're going to go and look for now?
I think I'm going to go and get a cup of tea.
Hi, and what are you doing here today?
Well, I've come over with my 3 children for the fun day. I've got a 4.5-year-old and a 11 and a 12-year-old, so I only live locally, so I thought it'd be good just to come over and do something with them today.
What do they head straight for?
Bouncy castle most of the time. There's a 5-year-old. I think my eldest one, she's starting to find it not as entertaining. She's getting older now. But my son, because he's so sport orientated, everything, he loves all the table tennis, football and all of that sort of stuff. So.
Have you had a chance to check out any of the things for mums and dads?
Not yet, but I've just heard someone mention massage, so I might go and see if I can have one of those, because I really need one.
Yeah, I think massages and cups of tea.
Yeah, nice big cup of rosy, yeah, lovely.
So, everyone's happy. And those family fun days are going to be happening every month. Camden Community Radio will be there, recording the event, And it's also a good opportunity to find out how to make your own radio programme. Marion Larrigy explains.
We make programmes about what's on in Camden, we make a monthly newscast, and we do lots of other things. If you'd like to learn how to do radio programmes, we can show you how to use equipment, how to record, how to plan a programme, help you make the programme, and we can put the programme up on the internet. So you can't access by turning on your radio, but you can go on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to any of our podcasts. Why don't you go along and have a listen now? Our website address is www.ccradio.org.
But whether you want to do that or not, do come along and join in the family fun at Maiden Lane. What else would you be doing?
Sleeping in bed or watching TV.
And nothing wrong with that. But you know, it's hard to beat a good bouncy castle. Give it a go.
At the London 2012 Olympics, Team GB came away with 65 medals, but only 11 of them came from team sports. And perhaps that's why only those winning team sports are being funded for Rio 2016. Others, like water polo and basketball, are arguing they're being forgotten and have just finished making their case to UK sports to have their funding returned. Nikita Chilani has more.
That was the moment GB's women's hockey squad won the only medal at London 2012 for a team of more than eight people. After that triumph, their funding for Rio 2016 was increased, alongside rowing, equestrian, cycling and gymnastics. But water polo's had all their UK sport money taken away, and 19-year-old team member Katie Hesketh has started an e-petition about it.
With team sports, you have to fund 13 athletes, for example, on our team, and you only get one medal out of it. So for individual sports, such as athletics, you could get first, second and third in that race, and you would only have to fund those three athletes. It just doesn't work out. If you want many medals, team sports are never, ever going to get a chance.
Individual and two-person sports like swimming, canoeing, sailing and athletics have been winning medals for decades and are only improving. They're now getting the most funding, between £20 to £30 million each.
I'm Hannah Brown and I'm currently a GB canoer, training full-time at Eton Dorney Lake.
Keep going now.
How important is the funding that UK Sport give you?
We wouldn't be able to achieve what we're doing at the moment without it.
What's your assessment of other sports that are improving but don't have any hopes for medals losing their funding?
I think it's the world we live in, unfortunately. Everyone wants medals. I think it'd be awesome to find other avenues of funding for those sort of sports that maybe we're lacking in at the moment.
But Katie says more established sports should be the ones to have to do this.
Water polo is such a small sport anyway. They're not going to get anywhere as near as much as UK Sport would be able to give us.
UK Sport were unwilling to comment on their individual funding choices, but as a government body, are required to explain their decisions and criteria to the Department for Culture, Media and Sport. Conservative MP John Whittingdale is the chair of this group.
UK Sport are there to decide which elite athletes are showing most promise. And there will always be some who think it's very unfair, that they've been misjudged, that, you know, actually their potential is much greater. And sometimes they may be right. But it would be unfair for me to turn around and sort of criticise.
We've had our legs kicked away from underneath us, and I defy anybody to say that they wouldn't struggle in similar circumstances.
That's Chris Edgerton. He works for GB Basketball, who've also lost all their funding.
There is a problem with the funding system as it exists, because it is targeted towards winning medals at all costs.
Do you think the answer is to call for a separate pot for team sports so that they're not left behind?
It's an interesting idea, and I think that's something that we would look at, probably in conjunction with other team sports. There is clearly a separate demand for assistance from team sports and a different type of assistance that's required. And I think fundamentally it needs a political solution.
Hello, I'm Wilf Stevenson. I'm the Labour frontbench spokesman for sport in the Lords.
Do you think the Department for Culture, Media and Sport need to intervene more?
We've set up a structure which I think worked very well for the Olympic Games in here in 2012. And we've got to try and build on that. I mean, nobody's saying it's perfect. So, you know, from time to time, it would be right for the department to intervene and to think about these things. But until we have a better understanding of how it works, and perhaps two or three Olympics under our belts, probably isn't worth making too many rash decisions at this stage.
UK Sport are going to respond to water polo and basketball's bids to change their funding and reevaluate their criteria within the next week. If they choose not to, teams will then be able to launch formal appeals. Nikita Chilani, Camden Community Radio.
Thanks for listening to this Camden Community Radio newscast. Tune in next time for another instalment from the team with their ears to the ground in Camden.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.
You're listening to Camden Newscast.